Good morning. Wonderful morning. It's the day the Lord has made, and we will
rejoice.
And we have such a good reason to rejoice. His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, it's my privilege to introduce to you again Ted and Bev Van Diepen. I was thinking here this morning, how long have I known them? And the truth is, it's over 20 years. Or more. So it's wonderful to have longevity and friendship. Come on up, Ted. And it's like for me, it's just old home week. And whenever we get together, it's wonderful. We haven't been able to do that as often as we used to, but you know what? That's okay. At least when we do, we can just pick up where we left off. And it's exciting. So as Ted comes to share this morning, Ted and Bev have been a part of, well, they are the founders of Doxa Ministry, and he can get into a little more of that if he needs to, or if he's just going to share the message this morning and tell us what they're up to in the next little bit here. Mm-hmm. So here, I'll let you put your drink there, stretch your hands out towards them this morning as I pray for them. Father, we are blessed to have brothers and sisters that live in other parts of the country and just even other parts of the province that believe like we do, that understand who you are, that rejoice in your goodness and your grace. And so, Father, as Ted comes to share the message this morning, we just open our hearts to what you have us to receive from the Holy Spirit. And I just pray your presence just rests strongly, not only upon him, but within him as he shares his word this morning. And again, we give you glory and praise. You deserve the higher glory, Lord. Amen. Amen. Blessings. Amen. All right.
Thank you. And, oh, it's up. Good. I'm going to test. I got to make sure it works. Oh, awesome. Yes. I heard it, we were having trouble with that earlier. So, all right. We just had a long weekend last weekend, and it was all about a story. A story that is real. And it was a death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right? Who became our Lord and our Savior. Right? We know this is true. Right? We have the book that tells us about this story from the ones who were actually there. But what's interesting about this story is that there is so much that he had done in that short time of 3 days and three nights. And everything that we have now is based on what he has done there. Our new creation is because of him. Our ability to walk in victory is because of him. Healing, wealth, whatever you want to call wealth, it is having no lack. Whatever that is in our life is having that awareness that we lack nothing in him. All the resources of the kingdom of God are now available to us. So if you had plans for waiting until that wonderful day when we are called to him, I'm telling you now, you don't have to wait that long. Because it's right now, while we live here. The religious people back in that day approached Jesus one day, and they challenged him to give a sign. They were all about looking at signs, but even when they did, they didn't care for the real reason, the answer it would give. They had their own ideas of what a Messiah would be, and Jesus did not fit the bill. So they were testing him. What could he pull out now? And this is what he said to them. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. This was the sign. This death, burial, resurrection was the sign. And they didn't accept that. But we who do need to know what he did for us to be able to live in all the resources and the identity that he has given us. We are more than we think. And it's all because we're in him. So it's nothing special about us other than he loves us. And he created us to be his friends. And to dwell with us. He's always wanted this. The garden was his creation for us. And what it was like to live there with him was what he still wants for us. And then the promise in the end, when it all wraps up here on earth the way it is, he's going to restore that here in the physical again. But the reality of it is in us right now. Because his spirit lives in us. So, what I'm going to attempt to do today is a little different than anything I ever do, because normally I will just be telling you things, right? And then we'll try to wrap up and see how we can make that work for us, right? Today I want to do something different. It's an experiment. I've never done this before. I haven't even talked to my wife about it, so we're going to see how this works. But today I want it to be a where you experience what I am going to read to you. So I want you to use your imagination. This is a gift from God. Our imagination engages our heart. And our imagination isn't just thoughts, but it's feeling, emotion. It's seeing the color of what's going on at that time. So I'm hoping that today we can get a new experience of what Christ did for us. Okay? We're quite familiar with the cross story. What happened there? The suffering that he went through. And then he dies. We know that he went to the grave, but we don't know much about what happened there. Most of us. Right? We have kind of snippets of ideas of what's happened there. And then we really key in on the resurrection, because we like that part of the story. That's victory, right? But resurrection was actually the fruit of what happened in the grave. And so I'm going to try to help us all. Now I'm going to cry. Try to help us all come to our own experience of what he did for us. And that Paul tells us that we actually share in that. So it wasn't something he was doing in secret, and then we just have the party at the end, that he finished it. But that actually, we actually experience it with him to the degree that we can experience the victory. Right? So let's see how that works. So I want you to close your eyes if you want, somehow to be able to get into your own heart. And as we're hearing the scriptures, begin to see yourself in that you're with him experiencing that, okay? And the big one is Isaiah 53, where we get a big introduction to this part of the story. And then later we'll go into the more depths of it, okay? So, Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we would desire him. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet he esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. We esteemed him that way. And he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And all like sheep we have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who declared his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. I'm just going to now read a couple of just snippets, okay? Remember on the cross, he cried out. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. Can you feel his anguish? Because at that moment, he was experiencing our sin. All of it. From the whole world, from Adam until the last days. Later in the psalm, this is Psalm 22 I'm reading. So later in the psalm, it says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. I'm not sure how that's pronounced, sorry. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. Okay. I'm going to read from John 19. And this is where his last moments. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Up until now, he didn't accept a drink. Okay, so now he's really thirsty. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Now I want to point out that phrase that he said, "It was finished," in the original language, it could also be translated as "paid in full." It's a phrase that talks about transaction. And this was what he did in his death. He paid in full. All sin, all the punishment, all that it represented, what it did to us, was done in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, "For he made him who knew no sin," because he was the spotless lamb, "to be sin for us." I can't wrap my head around that one. I can't even imagine what that would be like. For someone who was face to face with God the Father, now become sin, who never sinned. So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Something that we were not. And he gave up his ghost, right? He gave up his spirit. And now I want to read from Jonah. Because Jonah was the sign. So Jonah's experience tells us a lot about Jesus' experience. Because, yeah, we think he's dead. But we're not dead when our bodies die. We're still alive. He's still experiencing. "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. And then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple." Can you feel his conviction? "The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, like into the deep earth. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you. With my voice of thanksgiving, I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So you get this picture. He is experiencing complete separation from God. He experienced what we experienced in our death, in our life, or the paradox of we are alive, but we were dead. We had no connection to him. And here's Jesus in the grave, dead, fully aware of no connection to his Father. What was he to do? What would you do? You would cry in despair, right? When things go wrong in our lives, we tend to focus on what went wrong, right? And it starts that way in his experience because he's feeling everything. It's like a ton of weight on him. He experienced that it was like the bars, the gates of the deepest of the earth were locked and closed. And he began to feel that despair. It was like life being taken from him. But he did not wait there. He felt it. He experienced it. He considered it. But then he says, "No, I know the promise that the Father had given me that I would be seated with him at the right hand, and that all these people that I am dying for will receive this great reward, life, this possibility of life."